Well, good morning. Praise team has read the message, read the two scripture passages that the Lord really put on my heart to focus this message from. You know, we've been going through this thing about faith and this thing about the Holy Spirit. Amen? We hear the Holy Spirit speak to us. We read in God's Word. What do we do with it? What do we do when the Holy Spirit speaks to you? What do you do when God's Word speaks to you? You know, we listen to Him, but where do we go from there? Amen. Title of my message today is, Once We Hear From God, Then We Need to Trust God and By Faith Obey God. The thing we learned about faith as we went through the faith DVD and the faith small group study last fall, faith is an action word. And the writer of Hebrews said, I think most of us know, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, I want to read it out of the New American Standard Bible, says, Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of those who seek Him. And that passage ties right into the how-to passage. It comes out of Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 down to 34. And the one I want to concentrate on today, verse 33. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You know, as we've been looking at and studying in your small groups, how the Holy Spirit speaks to each one of us, I want us to turn today to the next step. Because you know what? We tend too much in church to do, oh, let's go hear the preacher preach. Let's go hear the praise team play. Let's go to the small group and fellowship together and learn about what God's Word says. Y'all come, y'all hear. What do we do with it after we've heard it? If we don't put it into action, we're at zip when it comes to pleasing God. No action, no pleasing God. You know, to get saved, you had to make action, didn't you? I mean, that was our first obedient step. When God called to us, what was our first obedient step? To respond to Him and invite Jesus Christ, repent of our sins and invite Jesus Christ to come into our heart as Savior and Lord. That was a faith step. But did it stop there? No. It keeps on going, doesn't it? Constantly, over and over, throughout our lives, there's faith steps. Action steps, if you will. As we respond to what the Holy Spirit shows us and what God's Word shows us, we have to respond to it. Amen? Amen? Plain and simple. And so if you and I are really trying to be followers of Jesus Christ, I thought we'd actually run most of the people off during when we went through the Not a Fan series. I think maybe it's starting to sink in because I think we're getting down to the followers. I'd like to see some of the fans come so they'd turn into followers. But to be a follower, you got to listen to what God says to you through the Holy Spirit and through His Word, and then you've got to go into action. You've got to apply it. You got to do the hard thing. You got to step out in faith and obey. Because if you don't, you're a fan. And a bad one at that. So on hearing God's word, we got to move away from just hearing it and thinking that's the end result. And we've got to move into what James said. James said in chapter 1, verse 22, he said, "But prove yourselves to be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves." You know what delude means? Fool themselves. Amen? For anyone who's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like the man who looks at his natural face in the mirror, and once he's looked at it and he's gone away, immediately he's forgotten what kind of person he really was. Yeah. Are we doers of God's word, or do we just like to do the hear? Where are you? Where are you? Hearer or doer? In other words, as you listen to the Holy Spirit, and I hope we all do, as you listen to the Holy Spirit, as you hear God speaking to you from His Word, then you got to meet Him and step out in faith and do what He told you to do. Do what He's commanded you to do in His Word. Amen? And you know what? I'm going to tell you what. That is not easy. It is difficult. But you know what? That's why God gave us the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because through His power, we can. Even when it's difficult. Even when it's hard, we can. The one thing, though, how many of y'all, it's so easy to get confused sometimes as we're going, well, I'm trying to listen to the Holy Spirit. And instead what we do is we confuse in our head the voice in my head thing. You ever have a voice in your head thing? Most of us probably have. And we go, oh, yeah, that's got to be from God because I heard it in my head. And since I heard it in my head and it matches up to what I want to do, it must be what God wants me to do. That's the voice in your head. That's the mind taking over. That's the mind saying, this is, it's okay. And so you go running off and then you can't figure out why it didn't work. Or you fell flat on your face. So often, that's what we listen to instead of listening to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, remember we've looked at this. The Holy Spirit, everything that the Holy Spirit says will always be confirmed to you in the Word of God. They won't be apart from one another. In our passage, it reminds us that all of our requests, as we pray even, all of our requests have got to be more than just some wish list that we put together. Because you know what, folks? God is not our genie in a jar who sits on the mantle in our Bible. Y'all remember the eight ball? The eight ball answer ball? They used to give these things away at Christmas time, and when we first got them, we thought they were great until we dropped them, and then they broke and spilled all over the place. But they've got that little floating answer thing, that cube or whatever it is that's inside of them, hexagon or octagon, I don't know. But all I know is when you turn them over, the answer always comes up different. God is not our eight ball with the answer on the bottom of Him. He's not our heavenly horoscope. What God wants you and I to do is to come before Him in everything and seek Him first. That means even the small things. Even the little bitsy things. Not just the great biggies. The biggies naturally. But even the little bitties. That's why the Lord said earlier in chapter 6, He said that when the disciples said, "Lord, how should we pray?" He said, "Come and ask God." He said, "Ask the Father for your daily bread." That's a little thing, isn't it? Do I really need to go and ask God for my daily bread? Can't I just get in my car and run down to Z's and buy a loaf of bread? I can do that. But in the little things, God says, even ask Him for that. Ask Him for that daily bread. He said, ask Him to keep me from the temptation. That's not a real big thing. I mean, it's a little bit bigger than the daily bread thing, I think, isn't it? And the thing I noticed about the Lord's Prayer, do you ever notice how it kind of escalates? Daily bread, temptations, and oh yeah, Lord, please forgive me like I forgive everybody else. That got to be real big there, didn't it? But he wants us to. But how can we do that if we don't seek him first? Amen? We can do some of these things a little bit, but we won't do them forever by just trying to do them on our own. That's why this Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 is such a key thing. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things are going to be added to it. We have got to seek, and this is something very important. These two go together. The righteousness and the kingdom, they go together. You don't take a knife and slice them down and say, well, I'm going to seek first the kingdom, and someday later I'll seek his righteousness. No, they go together. The way the language is put together, it says, seek first his kingdom and righteousness. The two of them go hand in hand. But the key that comes out of this is it says, seek first. Not as some afterthought. How many times do we go to God as an afterthought? Like, oh yeah, I should have asked God. Or, oh Lord, yeah, we're into this project now. Lord, would you bless it? We forgot to ask you earlier if you even wanted to do it. Amen? Or, oh Lord, oh gosh, things are really getting bad, Lord. I need you to come and bail me out. Give me the ultimate bailout, Lord. Oh, Lord, I want you to be the superhero. Come into my life, because I'll tell you what, these bad guys are really getting ready to whoop up on me. And I forgot to talk to you about this earlier, Lord. But now here they come. I need a superhero. Where's he at? Amen. God says seek him first. Not as a last resort, not as a superhero. Seek him first. Seek first the kingdom. So often when we think about kingdom things, what do we think of? Little or big? Big. But you know what? God wants you to be seeking him first as you, because you and I are part of his kingdom. I'm not very big. You're not very big. But in God's eyes, we are. We're very important to him. And he says, seek him first. About this kingdom. You're part of that kingdom. But I'm going to tell you what, in order for you or me to seek God first in anything, the first thing you got to do is lay it all down at the cross. You got to surrender it. You got to surrender every aspect of your life to the Lord. And as you're doing that, you've also got to be seeking his righteousness, which the Lord Jesus Christ gave to you. God made you righteous. You know that? God himself did that. And the thing about this righteousness thing is it's visible. We talk about here at Dallas that we want everybody to be able to see Jesus Christ through us. Amen? 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 It says, show Jesus. What does he want us to show? His righteousness. Are you showing his righteousness? You know what happens in our lives? Sin gets in there. But God wants us to be just kind of like, you know, this glass where his righteousness shines out, exudes outward toward other people, where they can see the Lord Jesus Christ through you and me. But when we sin, it's like them out there, me in here, and sin closes the blind. They don't see much out there, do they? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Our righteousness is something that God wants to be shown. His righteousness that he gave to each one of us. He wants us to be showing that to a dead and dying world who really needs a Savior whose name is Jesus Christ. The sin part gets in the way. You know, that's why Paul talked about it. But Paul said in Romans 6, verse 12, he said, don't let the sin rule in your body. When you let sin rule in your body, it's like pulling the blind down. People are not going to see you. They're not going to see Jesus Christ. If they see anything at all on the backside of that blind, that sin says, I really sin. I stink. That's what they see. Paul goes on and he said in Romans 7, he said, live by the law of God that's in the inner man, but that pits you against the law of our mind, which says, I want to operate in the flesh. Praise God, He gave us the Holy Spirit, because otherwise we couldn't handle it, folks. Amen? We've got the Holy Spirit. And because of that, like it says in Romans 8:13, you are living. If you're living according to the flesh, it says you must die. But if you live by the Spirit, you're putting to death the things of the flesh. You got to turn the Spirit loose in your life and let Him work. If you're going to show Jesus, you better let the Spirit loose. You better give Him full power. You better give Him all access to your life if you're going to let the righteousness of Jesus Christ shine through. Folks, the only way it's going to happen is if you surrender to God and then you seek Him first in everything and you seek His righteousness in your life. You want to live a right life. Because if we don't, folks, there is no way that we are going to show Jesus Christ to anybody when we're living by the flesh. Because living by the flesh means that you are living a life, and I would be living a life that is totally contrary to the Word of God. Things like homosexuality. Some people who say they're Christians say they can live that. Don't they? Bible says it's a contradiction. Living in adultery. Some Christians who call themselves Christians say, well, yeah, I'm forgiven and it's okay to live with that guy or that gal, even though we're not married. Amen? Fornicating. Party until you drop. Lying. Getting intoxicated with drug and alcohol. Coveting, lusting, cheating, being angry with others. How are we going to show Jesus Christ when we live a lifestyle that says that? Amen? The Word says no. Amen? How are we going to show Jesus if we cuss and we swear and we drop the F-bombs left and right? Amen? In the same way, how are we going to be showing God's kingdom and His righteousness if we're filling our heads with pornography, or if we're going to movies that are just loaded with all sorts of blasphemous stuff? And we say, oh, well, that's just good entertainment. How are we going to, folks? How are we going to be living according to the Word of God when we do this, when we can't even, and we won't even do, and we call ourselves born again believers, when we won't even do the simple things that show Jesus Christ? The Bible says, do not forsake the assembling together. It says, love me with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. But instead, we don't even demonstrate that one simple thing of being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ by worshiping Him on a Sunday morning. And instead, we take a bye and we go, oh, I'm going to go watch my favorite sports team, or I'm going to stay up half the night and play video games, and then I'm so tired I can't go the next day, so I'm going to rationalize and they'll understand. After all, God gave us grace. Or I want to go spend some time with my family, so I'm not going to worship. Nah, it's too much trouble. They don't want to go anyway. When we do that, we live in a perpetual state of sin because we're disobeying the Word of God. And it's no wonder we have no blessings. God's people need to repent. I was talking to Brother, you don't mind if I share the little illustration that you gave from your work, do you? About the ethics. Ron had to struggle with this. Work ethics. His employer pays him X dollars an hour for a full day's work. But it is so easy, it would have been so easy for that man. And I'm not puffing you up for this. I'm just saying, you showed Jesus in that. Keep doing it. It would have been so easy for him to just say, I'm going to do like the rest of my team does and take off and just scam the boss for those extra bucks, those extra hours. He couldn't do it. It bugged him. Made him sick over it. But he wrestled with it, and the Holy Spirit showed him what to do. And he puts in the hours so that he's not cheating his boss. The world says it's okay. Everybody else is doing it. Amen? But Colossians 3, when it comes to the workplace, Colossians 3:23 says that we're to be working as though we're working for the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. How are we going to want to cheat God? Amen? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Show Jesus Christ as His power just exudes His rightness through us. And that means that, you know what, we're going to have to do an awful lot of living by faith as Christians. An awful lot. It might even mean that at times we have to make job choices. And I've shared with a couple people individually when we were going to seminary, and that's a few years back, and this guy, he was one of our deacons at the church. And he had to make a real hard decision. He worked for one of the local breweries up in Fort Worth. It's either Coors or Miller's. I don't remember which it was. But he became so convicted that the alcohol was ruining people's lives. He had 5 years left to full vesting. And the guy, by the way, was not a lineman. He was up in management. Upper level sales and sales management. 5 years. All he would have had to do was say, I got to keep on doing this because 5 more years and I got it made. Some of the guys at church, some of his fellow deacons told him, said, oh yeah, don't do anything harsh. You can gut it out for another 5 years. He prayed and he struggled and he was convicted. And he finally went in and said, told his boss, I can't work here anymore. And he gave up all of that vesting that would have been if he would have just compromised his faith for another couple of years. And you go, what a stupid jerk. Well, no, he's actually a pretty smart guy because you know what God did? When he left them, he did not know what was going to happen. God took this man and gave him a job that doubled his salary. And the pension program that they had was so much stronger that in those 5 years, he had made back everything that he had given up. Amen. And he also had a clean heart. And he felt good about what he had done. That gets us down to the real question. One question, and we're going to wrap up on this. It's the main question. As you hear God speak to you through the Holy Spirit, whether He's convicting you of something, whether He's showing you need to do something, whether He's calling you to something, no matter what it is, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to run from it? Are you just going to hear it and ignore it? Or are you going to step out in faith and say, yes, Lord, I'll obey you. I'll follow you. If we want God's blessings, we've got to. If we want to live a life that really shows Jesus Christ, we've got to. Put your faith into motion. Jesus said that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And when he commands us something, we need to keep it. How are you doing in that area? Father, we come before you this morning. And there may be areas in each one of our lives, Father, that we just need to bring before you and ask your forgiveness. And you will, because you're faithful, you're just, as your word says. And you will forgive us and you cleanse us of righteousness. So Father, if there is something in our hearts, anything whatsoever, any of that sin that has taken root and is controlling our lives to where we're not following you as we should, may we just come before you this morning and lay it down and turn away from it, seeking your forgiveness and allowing you to minister to us. Lord God, it may be that there's one here, there may be one later on the internet who has not trusted Jesus Christ with his or her heart. And that one needs to make that decision and turn from whatever, that sin in his or her life, and turn to Jesus and accept the blessedness, the blessing that Christ gives of salvation, an eternal relationship. I pray, Father, that whatever the decision, whatever that you want us to do this morning, right here, each one of us, whatever it is, may we do so. May we honor you. Because, Lord, we really do want to honor you. And we want to show our love for you. May we do so today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.